Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. All glory. How's everybody? That you are. You are blessed and highly flavored. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. It's coming our way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's here with me. Glory!
Glory.
Hallelujah. You know, when you and I were born into this world, we were born with a plague. And that plague was called deception. It's called the plague of deception. And there is a sea of deception. And while we were worshiping, I saw the sea. And I saw waves rolling up. And God was pulling people out of the ocean, the sea of deception. And they would just roll up and they'd stand up and they begin to walk towards. And they don't even know what they're doing. That's okay. Because God is drawing. He's drawing people out of the sea of deception right now. And he's bringing them into the house of truth, the house of reality, the house of clarity, the house where God's presence is. Because in the sea of deception, there's nothing but the presence of evil. And it keeps people bound. And one of the things that the enemy wants to do is keep you in deception. Remember, we shared before, deception is our enemy. He wants you to live from your past instead of from your future. But see, you won't know your future if you don't know the Word. So it's impossible to live from the future without knowing the Word of God. You will always live from the past. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. A curse without a cause has no effect. But what you agree with will come to pass. So the Word of God is powerful. But we also have to monitor our thoughts. And by monitoring our thoughts, we should be sensitive enough. If we're filled with the Spirit enough, if we're willing to maintain a humble spirit, we'll become sensitive. But pride nullifies sensitivity. I'm going to say that again. Pride nullifies sensitivity because pride associates with trying to live for yourself or live according to your standards or according to your belief systems. And believe me, the enemy can mix false belief system with God's belief system. Does everybody understand it? He mixes it. That's called contamination. There are many individuals who are contaminated, and they're contaminated because of the things they've agreed with. They are contaminated because of the things they've seen or heard or the thoughts. Remember, we must no longer live from our past because it causes you to react. Only living from the future causes you to respond. And then you respond according to Christ. Other than that, we react with fear. We react with offense. We react with rejection. We react because of these things. And this is where the enemy does. All of those things are part of your past. We react. And when we react, we go into a whole other realm. And that's a realm called the sea of deception. And again, I see these waves rolling up and people are coming up and standing up. And they're coming out and they're really not knowing what to do. And this is where you and I must run to the shores and rescue them. And we do that by prayer and intercession. Everyone must work out their salvation. But there are those who don't even know how to start to work it out. One of the things that the enemy uses is demons. They're demons. They're spirits. The word sin means presence of evil. It's not because you, when we sinned, it's because you cooperate with the presence of evil. And that creates a transgression. That is the act. And when you do the act, then you bring a curse on yourself and the family line. So our forefathers rejected certain things of God and brought a curse on our family line. And you are what you've inherited. So it's important to break those curses off. And you do that by the power of the tongue. Because the power of the tongue, there's life and death. And by speaking God's word, you bring light into a dark area. It's amazing that when things are dark, when you turn the light on, darkness can't overtake it. So you got to make sure your light's on all the time. See, but one of the things the enemy likes to do is come over and convince you. Only he can convince you. He can't shut your light off. He convinces you to turn it off. And he doesn't come to you and say, "Hi, today I've come to turn off your light. Would you mind cooperating with me?" No, he comes in an area because he's sly. He's cunning. He maneuvers in a way that you don't even know he's maneuvering. And the next thing you find yourself in an area where you are close to the boundaries and you are saying things that you don't like you're saying, you are doing things you don't like what you're doing, and you're going, how did I do this again? And that's because we've allowed him to open the door in us. Has everybody got that? We can't blame nobody. You can't even blame the devil. We are accountable for what we do. Has everybody got it? But you don't know what such and such said. Who cares? You are accountable for you, because only you will stand before God and be accountable. That's where we got to begin to stop justifying and start recognizing. Amen? We must start recognizing. But you won't recognize and be sensitive enough unless you're filled with the Spirit and you've severed these things from your life. And there is a process. So the enemy uses demonic activity, uses spirits, uses demons. And there's one that I want to talk about today that is vitally important. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Is anybody here by coincidence? Would you start with me and read verse 1? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, the gospel means a message of truth. Veiled. If you're veiled, you can't see, can you? Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who's the God of this age? Satan. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, I want to share something very important, because we have talked about a spirit of veil. We are born with blinders on our eyes. But before the spirit of veil comes, there is a spirit called deaf and dumb. It is a deaf and dumb spirit. And this deaf and dumb spirit is what allows the spirit of veil to be all there all the time. Once the deaf and dumb spirit is removed, the veil begins to lift. Is everybody with me? That deaf and dumb spirit prevents an individual from receiving, understanding the things of spiritual truth. This deaf and dumb spirit doesn't lay dormant. He is active. And one of the things that's the first demon that we usually have to deal with before we can go any further. That spirit must be removed first. When that spirit is removed first, then the veil can begin to start to come off, because then there can be illumination and eventually revelation. So in this, that spirit of deaf and dumb, and I want to talk about this because it's very important that it is removed from us on a daily basis. This is not a one-time event. Remember, these spirits come back all the time. Just because you remove a spirit doesn't mean it's not going to come back. You can send that one to the pit and another one comes to replace them. That's why we must be first attackers every day. We must bind, blind, and mute these spirits. We must command them to leave us every day. This is a part of our warfare. This is what keeps us separated from the world. Because the world has demonic spirits in them. And we must come out of that. When Jesus said, come out from among them, he said, come out from among them who are unevenly yoked, right? Don't be associated with unbelievers. Don't yoke yourself with them. Well, why? Because unbelievers carry what? Demons. So that's how they get in you too. Because what you associate with will bring an impartation. Your associations bring impartations. So it's important that we shake the dust off every day and we command these spirits to leave and kill corruptible seeds on a daily basis. And let me tell you, that first spirit that likes to attach to you is a deaf and dumb spirit. One night I was praying to the Lord, and that night I had a dream. And I saw, and you might have heard this before already, and I saw this deaf and dumb spirit. I didn't know what it was. And I was in a room, and I was trying to protect somebody. And I told him to go in the other room. And this, all of a sudden, something was banging at the door, trying to come in. But I was in this room with a big, thick door. And it was smashing this door, and I could see the imprints coming through on the door, coming through and busting through. And all of a sudden, the door went flying, and this creature came in, and he looked like a kangaroo. He had kangaroo feet and legs, but he had four arms that were almost like, I know this is wild, like a whale fins. You know, and there was ones that were a set here and a set here, and his face had a snoot, almost like an anteater. And when he came in, he was doing this, but he was so powerful. And I'm thinking, man, what is this thing? And I was across the room, and when he jumped, he went across the room and smashed through that door and was going after the other person. And I said, Lord, and he said, that's a deaf and dumb spirit. And the reason why he set this way is because he wraps his top around your eyes and ears. And then he wraps the rest around your body. And he begins to suck the life out of you. I thought, whoa. And it was put in my spirit that that's the first spirit we need to deal with all the time. That spirit must be removed. It's a deaf and dumb spirit. Now, there's a physical manifestation. There is a spiritual manifestation of the spirit. And when that spirit comes, he begins to establish back the veil where people can't hear or receive. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. In verse 5 it says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ the Lord and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In Ephesians chapter 5. One of the things about this spirit, it's almost like it prevents people from awakening. In other words, when you and I were born, we were actually asleep still. We are asleep spiritually. We weren't quickened. We weren't awakened yet. And one of the things about the Spirit wants to do is put believers back to sleep. If he can put a believer back to sleep, then that person can drift. And then he can feed him false doctrine. And because, let me tell you, when there is false doctrine, there's false perception. So that person perceives different now than what they used to. In fact, they begin to criticize, accuse, and everything else because they're trying not to they're resisting responsibility, and they blame everything else and everyone else for their actions. That's the presence of evil. When the presence of God there's humbleness and repentance. Forgive me, Lord, for being a bonehead. Forgive me for what I said. And this is not something that's, well, let me think about it. One of the things the Spirit does is promote reason. And it promotes reason, which is a guillotine of faith. It tries to get you to reason and compromise and become complacent, become lazy. It tries to put you back to sleep all the time because it puts you in a state of a coma. It's called spiritual comatose. But anyways, in this is something that you and I must deal not once a week, but every single day because that spirit will try to come on you. People go back into that sleep and they backslide. They go into other things and other arenas. In Ephesians chapter 5, is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8, it says, for you were what? Once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in righteousness, in truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, what begins to happen is a person stops seeking what's pleasing God. They stop seeking what's pleasing God. That's that deaf and dumb spirit is there. He's the first spirit. And when that spirit comes, he opens the door to others. In verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. So we'd expose them in our life every day? Don't worry about anybody else. If you're busy trying to expose everyone else, you can be sure that you're the one that has them. In verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Verse 14, let's all read it together. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, he's speaking to the believers. This is a letter that is sent to the believers. He's saying, listen, you are falling asleep. Why are you falling asleep? Because of the deaf and dumb spirit who puts the veil back on. In Romans 13, Jesus saying he said he came to bring sight. Amen? Spiritual sight. And in this blindness comes because of this deaf and dumb spirit, and the person begins to rely on themselves instead of God. In Romans 13, hallelujah. In verse 11, let's speak it. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when it first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the flesh. When that spirit is there, there is a desire to fill the flesh. Awake to righteousness. Amen. And remember, this is to believers. In 1 Corinthians 15. You know, the word tells us that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. I don't want to say it's easy to go back. There's a deception that it's easier to go back. But it's not easier to go back. It's like trying to fit a round cylinder into a square hole. It just doesn't fit. And no matter what a person does after they've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have tasted the goodness of the Lord and been filled with the Spirit of God, even when they're deceived and go back, man, there's more torment there than there ever has been. The thing is why? Why even go there? Because in the fight sometimes is like going upriver to come back. And the reason why it's going upriver is because there has to be more washing, more deliverance, more freedom. There's got to be more cleansing. And then we're re-earning the trust of God again. So why even consider to go back? Again, pride will come in. Next thing you know, we're blinded. We try to do it our way. We got to maintain a humble spirit, a humble heart, an open heart to the Lord at all times. We should be sensitive enough that when that heart begins to harden, we should run. And I'm not saying to darkness, run to light. Is everybody okay? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, let's speak it together. Do not be what? Deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits. Hello. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So when you're in a struggle and there's a battle going on in you, you'll know exactly where you are. So you pick the phone up and you call an old friend who's a heathen. So you're going to go get counsel from a heathen. Does everybody get it? No, you get a hold of a brother or sister in Christ who's walking upright. And not one who compromises and backslides. Not one who's up one day and down the next day. You want someone that's stable. You get a hold of that person. Or you call your office, your pastor, and so forth. You come in and get counsel. But you know, sometimes it just takes a short stretch of the arm and say, pray with me. Or pray with me. It's really that simple. But the enemy makes it complex. Man, he's going, hey, man, you don't want people to know. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Pride just showed up and wants to birth you. We're to keep everything, we're to be transparent. Something the government needs to learn about. Hallelujah. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Verse 34. Awake. Everyone say awake. To righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Wow. Some don't have it. I'm telling you, those waves are coming up with individuals. There is a big influx of individuals that are coming out of darkness, that God is pulling out of darkness. And let me tell you, people, we need to be ready. They're coming from all over. God is drawing them out. We must get our houses in order, this house first, and be ready. In Mark 9, Mark chapter 9, deaf and dumb, in verse 14, It says, and when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Let me tell you, I have gone and went to go lay hands on people, and that is manifested instantly. They become rigid, and they are froze, and their eyes roll in their heads, and they can't do anything. So I just back off on it and call the person forward because the demon comes up front. And then we bring the person through a process so they can get freed up. Rigid. Now, you know, you got to look at this not only physically, but also spiritually. It says it throws them down. Being thrown down, you know, we see it in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, it's downcast. It's discouragement. It's oppression. He foams at the mouth. Believe me, some people talk so much, they foam at the mouth. And they do nothing. They can't comprehend. They just talk. Gnashes his teeth. That's aggressive anger. And becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father. Now you got to understand, here this manifestation is going on. Jesus has come. He starts talking to the father. He asks his father. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said to him, from childhood. From what? Childhood. Was he born with the spirit then? Yes. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. What's that spirit trying to do? Kill him. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And he said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So he was telling this man, if you can believe, it will happen. Something powerful, this man said. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. What did he do? He made a choice to accept what Jesus said. See, so many times, one of the things about that spirit, it doesn't allow you to make that choice. It prevents you to accept what Jesus said and wants you to just believe what he says. And immediately the father cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Remove from me doubt. Remove these things from me. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Does everybody see that? And enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. One of the things about this spirit, this deaf and dumb spirit, it's also associated with a slumber spirit. He tries to put you to sleep. He's always trying to put you to sleep. See, because if you can rest in his arms, he's got you. Do you ever notice that when you try and read the word, that slumber spirit comes? Man, you can read any kind of book. You can watch anything. You can do whatever, and you're awake. But man, you try to do the things of God, and that spirit comes because that slumber spirit's trying to get you to sleep so the deaf and dumb spirit can enter in. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. And Proverbs 12. So I can tell you he's going to attack as much as he can today because he doesn't want you to know. So if you sense your neighbor falling asleep, just slap him. No, just, hey, come on. We'd have people all over the floor. I can't believe I went to church and some of my neighbors slapped me. No, we won't slap anybody. You can elbow him, you know. Give him the Holy Ghost elbow. Hey, don't fall asleep. Or you can pray for them. Come out in Jesus' name. In Proverbs chapter 12, is everybody there? In verse 1, let's read it together. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is what?
Stupid.
You know, so many people think that correction is, they get offended when you try to correct them. Well, then they're stupid. And if they're stupid, a deaf and dumb spirit is hindering their life. Where there's stupidity, a deaf and dumb spirit is there. Has everybody got it? Why? Because they're rejecting correction. And also what's supporting that spirit is pride. Verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be what? Moved. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 21. I want to share with you a few things that the spirit of deaf and dumb is associated with. In verse 25. The desire of the lazy man what? Kills him. The desire of the lazy man kills him. That deaf and dumb spirit promotes laziness. For his hands refuse to what? Labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Proverbs 18 and verse 1. One of the things the spirit begins to do, because he knows that it's like he went fishing and he caught something. So he brings the meal in, and now he's going to share the meal with his associates. And this spirit shares you as a meal. You got to remember, demons get fed by emotion. So one of the things he's going to do is try to isolate you. If he can isolate you, he can share you with the rest of the spirits. And 18:1, let's read it together. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Verse 2. A fool has no delight in what? Understanding. But in expressing his own heart. In other words, he's foaming at the mouth. All he wants to do is talk. But there's no understanding. He can't receive anything, but he's willing to talk like crazy. That is called a fool. And that's one of the things the spirit associates with. When there's a deaf and dumb spirit there, a person becomes stupid and a fool. Has everybody got it? Because no understanding. No understanding. And Zephaniah 11. One of the things that the spirit likes to do is bring compromise and complacency. And the Lord talks about the things of complacency when he will come and judge. When he comes and judge and people are in complacency, there'll be judgment on them. And this spirit brings complacency. It brings compromise. It almost brings that place where people begin to make excuses. And we begin to make excuses for the things that we become lazy about. In other words, well, I didn't have enough time to pray today. Well, I got up late and I had to go do this and I had to go do that. I couldn't make it to fellowship because of, somebody understand, there's always an excuse. Always an excuse. There isn't consistency. There isn't stability. There isn't steadfastness. And when that is establishing and manifesting in your life, you can be assured that a deaf and dumb spirit is manipulating. In James chapter 1. Now, remember that the Bible tells us that we're to overcome temptation. So are you going to be tempted with the Spirit? Yes. Yeah. In James chapter 1, in verse 22, it says, but be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a what? Forgetful hearer. One of the things that this spirit begins to do, it begins to manipulate it in an area, because it begins to almost like cloud things to where we become forgetful. Forgetful of the things of God. Forgetful of the promises of God. Forgetful of the covenant of God. Forgetful of who you are in Christ. But he who looks into perfect liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Forgetfulness. I'm not talking about, you know, when everybody has a forgetful time. Amen. I'm talking about the things of God. Man, there's times I'll go in a room and go, what the heck am I doing in here for? And I was like, oh, I know. Okay. I forgot where my keys were. I'm looking for my keys. And I placed them somewhere.
Holy Spirit, where did I leave them?
And then he usually brings a vision or tells me where they are. In the book of Jude, people that are mediums, sorcerers, they have a deaf and dumb spirit. And they have a deaf and dumb spirit. Again, a deaf and dumb spirit is what prevents an individual from knowing truth and walking in it. So they may have spiritual insight in their kingdom, but they have no spiritual insight because they actually believe what they're doing is of God. So when a person believes what they're doing is of God, but it's not of God, they have a deaf and dumb spirit. Witchcraft, sorcery, all of those, all these people have deaf and dumb spirits. And Jude 1, in verse 8, and it says, likewise, all these dreamers, I want to say dreamer, defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Dreamers, one of the things that the spirit likes to do is cause individuals to drift. They drift. They can't hold focus for a long period of time. They can't see things through. They can't hear things through. They drift. You'd be talking to them all of a sudden. I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes a person's tired and they can't hold focus or something. But I'm talking about a person, especially they can't even look at you just because that demon is there strong. Dreamers, drifting away, lose focus. Also, one of these areas is, first of all, is lack of spiritual understanding, and that spirit imposes and promotes rebellion. In James chapter 3. Now, when you begin to look at all of these things that are manifesting, again, this spirit it wants to share the meal. So it's going to invite other spirits in. Remember, the Bible tells us when a house is cleaned up, the spirit leaves the person, those demons come back, they're trying to come back seven times stronger. That's not a one-time event. That's continuous. They're always trying to come back. Always. In James chapter 3 and verse 13, let's speak it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have what? Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, and do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. One of the things the Spirit does is promote confusion. God is not the author of confusion. It promotes confusion. Isaiah 56 and verse 9. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all what? Ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, and loving to what? Slumber. What's hindering them? Deaf and dumb spirit. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. They are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. This is associated with deaf and dumb spirit. It brings ignorance. Remember, this spirit is trying to prevent you from receiving the truth and being set free. Now, you may have truth, right? But you're not practicing truth. That is a deaf and dumb spirit preventing you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Start at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. We are seeing this spirit have control over many humans. We see the spirit. It's, you know, even there's believers. You know, why are there so-called believers that are still promoting abortion? Why are they still promoting same-sex marriage? Why are there congregation and preachers that are marrying homosexual because they have a deaf and dumb spirit. They will have a form of godliness but deny its power. You know, yesterday, now this may sound strange, and you can take it in every way, any way that you want. But one of the things that came to me was I heard this. All the left are going to hell. I went, what? All the left are going to hell. There's the left and the right. Those who are of the left are going to hell unless they come to the right. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, doesn't he? Jesus even said in the word, he said, those who are on the left are considered goats. I will separate the goat from the sheep. And I began to step back and I began to look, and even in the political parties, if you look at the left, now this is not about it's not about a political party though. Does everybody got it? This is about where is God in their life? There are many believers who are saying, yes, I'm a Christian, but I promote same-sex marriage and promote abortion. They are going to hell because you'll be judged on what you approve of. I'm telling you, I heard this yesterday morning in my time. The left are going to hell. And I believe God is trying to get us to start praying for them to come out of this before it's too late. Because, see, they actually believe that they're fighting for a cause that is of God. But it's not. Their cause is anti-Christ. It is not a Christ cause. And anyone who serves anti-Christ and promotes anti-Christ will go to hell. Because they are prideful and don't repent. And when you begin to look at all of this, what we just read right now, all of these individuals are bound by deaf and dumb spirits. Why? Because it prevents a person from knowing the truth or practicing the truth. Is everybody okay? And I want to close at Psalm 1. Deaf and dumb spirit. It's time we kick butt and we're going to remove it today. You know, you could be searching all over what's the problem? I don't get what. Sometimes it's just a deaf and dumb spirit. Psalm 1:1. Let's speak it together. Blessed, everyone say blessed.
Blessed
is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is the counsel. Has everybody got it? Blessed is the man who doesn't take ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel opens the door to deaf and dumb spirit. In verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The law means his word. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Verse 4, speak it with me. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That judgment means rewards. They will not stand with the rewards. And verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Remember, what you promote is what you will be judged by, what you approve. This deaf and dumb spirit is bringing a lot of havoc to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. And it's because not enough individuals are taking care of it and removing it. Not enough individuals spiritually warfare. And it's time that we did that on a daily basis. Amen? So we're going to pray that right now. Everybody repeat after me. Holy Father,
Holy Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I repent
for any association
with
the deaf and dumb spirit.
I break
every inherited curse off of my life and command those spirits to loose
and
leave me
in
the name of Jesus.
I command that spirit
that tries to bring me blindness
and deafness
from the spiritual truth
of
Christ Jesus.
I command that spirit
now
to loose,
to leave
me,
and never come back.
Because
the blood of Jesus
come
against you
in
Jesus' name.
Now I command
every corruptible seed that's been imparted in me from any of those spirits to wither and die. I will not allow you to root in me. I pull you out by the roots, destroy your seeds, and command you to go in Jesus' name. Now, Father, fill us with your Spirit. Refresh us in your presence. Wash us with the blood. And fill us to see, to hear, and receive the truth of your Spirit from this day forth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.